This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan Kaneson, Wong Xiaoning and Julian Ng. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Dr. Alan Wager from the UK in A Changing Europe, a think tank, for analysis on the UK elections. But in the meantime, let's talk about the changing Malaysian media landscape. It's hard times, no secret, it's hard times for those in the media industry. Last month, Media Prima announced that it would undertake a transformation and restructuring exercise that would last until the first quarter of 2020. And staff of Media Prima received termination notices this week in what's seen as the largest retrenchment exercise in the media industry.
Meanwhile, Media Prima says that the staff retrenchment exercise will significantly reduce its operational expenditure and help turn its finances around. They have not given the number of staff involved in the exercise and the cost to embark on the scheme. And actually, this is not the first round of, I would say, whether you want to call it VSS or MSS, they've got many terms now to describe it. Some sources, however, cited figures of around 1,000 staff notified of their retrenchment, and rumours within the industry suggest that the firm were looking to shed as many as 1,500 jobs.
And the New Straits Times press have also not been spared. The Malay Mail reports that some 500 employees there were issued termination letters yesterday. According to its union of journalists, the terminations will take effect on 12 March next year.
Yeah, and you know, Media Prima is a behemoth in the industry. It's got TV, it's got radio, it's got the newspaper, which I think we're all more familiar with. And it is. It seems like the media industry is changing, and and we're not sure where it's going to go next. This retrenchment exercise is expected to hit the group's broadcasting arm the most, though, just opposite from us here, actually, with houses such as TV stations such as TV3 and TV7, ATV and TV9. On Saturday, a source told Malay Mail that Media Prima was looking to halve the editorial count for the newspaper in its stable from the 90 or so at the New Straits Times, Berita Harian and Harian Metro. And we were talking to on Pressing Matters on Monday with Keith Kam about this. And for him, it's sad to see this because he's met a lot of these people. He knows what they're going through. And despite editorial differences, these are people losing their jobs.
Yeah, and with the media industry shrinking, the question is where can they go, right? Because it's not like there are lots of other media jobs out there. It's going to be difficult times. And like I said earlier, Media Prima did carry out a retrenchment exercise in 2018. At that time, 233 staff were laid off. 19 million ringgit was spent for termination benefits. So this time round, it's estimated they will spend about 45 million ringgit for this round.
Yeah, I guess from the viewpoint of Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, he is quite cautious on media companies going overboard in retrenching their staff as well. He's saying that the government is prepared to give tax exemptions to media companies on the conditions that they take every possible step to avoid retrenching. And I think this is can be looked at on two angles. One is that from the viewpoint of free markets, of course, this is just government tinkering in the process of capitalism and free market. Capitalism is a dirty word today, right? But from another viewpoint, I guess it is important to sustain and to preserve the institution of the fourth estate, which media companies are. Their jobs is to really go out there and really report the truth and be critical about what's going on in the nation so that the nation can improve, to expose any scams that are out there. And so it's important to actually preserve the media institutions as a form of fourth estate, assuming the fact that they're actually preserving that, right? And for that matter as well, the government has decided to establish the Malaysian Media Council. I'm not sure in what form this would take. I think details are still lacking there.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that the fourth estate is essential to any democracy. It's the bastion of keeping people at accountable for their actions and keeping people aware. But this is a much larger issue because we've also seen It's the modernization of the industry as well.
Yeah, it's a structural decline. There's no other way to describe it, right? I mean, whether it is free-to-air TV or newspapers, and it's not just Malaysia, it's a global phenomenon. Media companies are shutting down in US, UK, especially small regional newspapers, because people can get all sorts of information online. And there's also this bigger debate whether companies like Facebook, Google should be charged for, you know, feeding news wires into their websites, right? Or when you look online, you can read this news, but they don't pay anything for it. So there are all these questions. But, you know, for Malaysia, it is important. I mean, for any country, it's important to have newspapers or any media, because like you say, Julian, it's a check and balance, right? They are one of the institutions that actually hold governments accountable for actions, for whatever policies, and you know, citizens need a mouthpiece, and newspapers are often that.
So you're known as the free market person.
I am.
Among us here in on
BFM, capitalism,
perhaps.
Yes.
But so do you think that the government should actually provide some kind of tax funding to newspaper, to media companies? Actually, I'm loath to use the word newspaper, because media is changing so drastically, right? So it's no longer newspaper, but is mainly media. Do you think that the government should be in the business of funding, giving some sort of funding in order to allow them to survive?
I am at two minds about this, because there's no end to it, right? Because there will always be industries that will be shutting down that technically are really inefficient and should close. And companies should, you know, evolve naturally to kind of meet market expectations, and also to offer products that suit the current lifestyle, suit the current taste of consumers. So I'm at two minds at it, and I'm not sure if it's done, it has to be done carefully and targeted, rather than just offering a broad subsidy, because otherwise there's no end to it. Right? Every industry will put their hand up and say, I want a subsidy too, I want a tax break. Then when does it end?
Yeah, and it's actually been a year since the Malay Mail stopped its print edition. And we've seen Utusan also shut down on that site. And Malay Mail has actually switched over to online, right? You see they're going through their own transformation of just being an online publication. But their entire print site was let go last year. And everyone else is doing that as well. Digital is I know we've been saying this for years, but it is the next frontier. And the problem is, how do you monetize it? How do you make money online? It's difficult. Not everyone can do a subscription service. Not everyone is Bloomberg or Wall Street Journal with that brand presence. It makes me wonder whether we're going to see global houses become the predominant force, right? We see the South China Morning Post, the Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, these becoming more the mainstream sources of media, and whether the only way to survive is, well, scale. Can we as a region come up with a paper that represents our interests as well?
Well, I think there's two models that have worked. One model, of course, is when you have scale. So you're like you say, like the Asia Wall Street Journal, South China Morning Post, Bloomberg. The other alternative is where you go super niche. So you're talking about the likes of Financial Times or Economist, where you actually pay a lot of money to read these papers.
Actually, most of the good publications have put themselves behind a paywall. I mean, you talk about Financial Times and The Economist, but also companies like Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg, in fact, has put up some kind of restriction of free access, New York Times and so on. There are very few publications, like I think Guardian. Being one of the only few that really ask for donations. Yeah, rather than a subscription, right? Malaysia Kini, I mean, our local news organization, has been around for two decades now.
Yeah.
And they are also behind a pretty cheap paywall, I would say.
A subscription-based, rather than free.
But people, I'm not sure whether people are paying for it, judging by the comments that appear on Malaysia Kini. I think they are doing okay.
Yeah, so it has to be down to your content, right? It has to be good enough that people are willing to pay some money for. Unfortunately, the internet kind of gives everyone the impression that everything is free when it's not. I mean, you have to pay for good journalism.
And that's that is the truth. You have to pay for good journalism, just like you pay for any service that out there. And taking a look at the poll, do we still consume traditional media? We've got in the lead right now, there's been 60 votes in, yes, but less than before. I use a bit of both, that's 30%. And no, I prefer new media at 21%. The pure, yes, I still prefer it camp is at 13% stake over there. Up next, we're going to be taking a look at the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin, and then a look at Brexit with Alan Wager from the UK in a changing Europe. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.